From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
This morning we speak with Amber Raleigh. She's the co-founder and CEO of the Grow Community Center Cafe and Food Truck, which is now open for business in Park City. Health, compassion, and sustainability are the pillars of Grow's mission. Listen in to find out how you can book the food truck for your event.
And then neuropsychologist Simon McCarthy-Jones, who has written a book about the basic human instinct, spite. He draws on research in biology, game theory, economics, and psychology to argue that spite comes from our primal impulse for fairness and justice.
That sounds a little far-fetched, but I'm really looking forward to knowing how spite is actually, there's an upside.
It can't be true unless you stay tuned.
That's right. This is The Mountain Life. Stay with us. We'll be back after these words from our underwriters.
For adventurers on a budget, Utah Olympic Park offers a host of activities at no charge. Admission and parking are always free. Start with a tour of the Alfangen Ski Museum and the Eccles 2002 Winter Games Museum. Best of all, come support athletes from all over the world who train at the park. Open daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Details at UtahOlympicLegacy.org.
Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting KPCW, providing sport programs, education, and recreation opportunities for people of all ages and abilities.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Well, we are excited to have our first guest. The mission of the Grow Food Truck and Cafe is to create community connectedness through food, improve the health of our community members, and help to foster compassion and empathy. This may not be the business model you'd imagine for a food truck. That's why we asked founder and CEO Amber Raleigh on the show to tell us about what this local endeavor is trying to accomplish. And by the way, Amber is quickly stopping by the studio for an interview before she and co-founder Edgefish serve up food to 75 Jeremy Ranch teachers. Amber Raleigh, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
This literally is a drive-by, and we are excited to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what got you inspired to start this food truck.
Well, just like our mission has multiple components to it, my inspiration came from a variety of things, my own personal health and the benefits I've experienced with plant-based eating, as well as experiencing food insecurity quite significantly during the Great Recession back in 2008, and looking for ways to be more creative in how we help people find dignity and compassion when they're going through challenging times in their own community, whether it's temporary or whether it's, you know, more of a chronic experience. And then, of course, just wanting to have more compassion and empathy. I'm a big fan of animals, so anything I can do to support animal compassion is kind of my personal mission there.
And for your just relation on to experiencing the troubling times and bringing food right to people. Tell us a little bit about how obviously it's a food truck, but how have you been doing that and what has that looked like for Grow?
Well, you know, it was interesting when we came across the food truck model because originally, pre-COVID, we were actually going to be a bricks and mortar cafe where people could all come together, share a meal together, people who are food secure, people who are food insecure. And with COVID coming upon our community, it did not make sense to add one more restaurant to our community during this time. So we decided, well, let's put it on wheels and take it to the individual communities. So that allows us to work through existing nonprofits and organizations who already have relationships with people in the community who are food insecure. We have a variety of ways in which we bring meals to people. Sometimes it is bringing meals directly to an organization like Peace House. and allowing them to experience plant-based food and nutrient-based food, complements of our donors. Other ways is when someone is temporarily food insecure, Park City has such a great outreach network that when somebody pops up on Corona Kindness or one of the Facebook groups where they're experiencing temporary food insecurity, like that recent snowboarding accident family, we actually drove the truck right up to their house and brought food to them, which was kind of fun. So there's a couple different ways. Ultimately, the goal is to create an environment where people in our community who are experiencing food insecurity feel comfortable coming to the food truck and being connected to their community with other people, just like the original intention of the cafe, so that there is a sense of belongingness and dignity. Because a lot of times when we're going through financial challenges or challenging times, we tend to isolate, and then that carries over into our mental health and feeling like we belong and feeling a sense of purpose and hope.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, our guest is Amber Raleigh. She's the co-founder and CEO of the Grow Community Center, Cafe, and Food Truck. And I think I spoke with you a couple of years ago when you were formulating this idea, as you said, for more of a brick and mortar place. And it seems as though the condition that we've all been in the last year with COVID really almost helped your business model to bring more clarity about what you, who you wanted to be and where you wanted to be. And that's my question. So, for example, we, as we said in the intro, you're going to be at Jeremy Ranch Elementary today, serving up some plant-based nutrition, delicious nutrition, to the teachers there. And that was sponsored by the PTO at the school. But talk about some of the other places that you've been and how you balance that into being in an area where, or being in one place so people who are experiencing food insecurity can find you.
Absolutely. So we create a very delicate balance. And since we've only been open for just over 6 weeks, we're still navigating and figuring that out, of having public events where we're available, going directly to the community like a Peace House, and then doing private events like something we do with Communities That Care, who's been a huge partnership with us as we launch into the Park City area. Something like the Communities That Care, you know, partnership allowed us to go directly to the teachers, and they funded that. They also allowed us to go directly to the Summit County Sheriff's Department and bring them meals as a thank you for everything that everyone's done in this last COVID year that we've all been adjusting to and sort of coming out of, right? So that's one way that we've done it. But then again, you know, when we are open to the public, we are actually working with some of our communities to find out what is the best way to make that comfortable for people who are food insecure. The most important thing is that we can allow them to experience a nutrient-dense meal. We are not in the position to provide, you know, meals for people 7 days a week, like the great, amazing work that CCPC does with the food bank. Our concept is helping people explore a different way of eating. We were seeing a lot of news in the media, everything from Kamala Harris being plant-based until 6 p.m. And how that is valuable to our environment, but also to our health. So our big mission is to help people food secure, food insecure, find a way to add more plants into their life. And that's why we call ourselves a 100% plant-based food truck, not a vegan food truck, because this is just more about exploring plant-based eating. So we make our food, plant-based food, really tasty so people can go. It's not just a salad without chicken, which is what we all think of when we go to a restaurant and we want to have, you know, something that's plant-based friendly or animal friendly. So we're really trying to change the perception of what plant-based eating is. And the best way to do that is to try the food, and that is why we're making it available to our food secure and food insecure community.
When we talk about the phrase food insecure, do we also mean areas where people they may have access to food, but it's not nutritious food? It may be only fast food. It may be only, you know, the food that we are barraged by advertising with, you know, that it's amazing if you watch TV, and I don't often, but if you see the commercials, it's always about unhealthy fast food. And it seems that there's this huge educational component that you're also able to provide.
Absolutely. So a recent study by Yale's climate change program came out with this surprising awareness that 93% of Americans want to eat more plants. Like, they want to do it, but we are stimulated by advertising. Also, the biggest barriers are taste, convenience, and cost, which are really just perception barriers. So our main mission is to help people overcome the taste perception barrier, because they can taste the food and go, oh, wow, my brain feels like satiated out after that. If you look at our current winter menu, it's basically something you would get when you walk into a typical restaurant. We've just made it with plants. And what we encourage people to do as they're exploring more plant-based eating, we were on the Swanner Preserve Facebook Live yesterday, and they were like, well, how do we eat more plants? I'm like, well, find the recipe that you like things that you love to eat, and Google a plant-based version of that and try that. Because the brain just needs to know that it's satiated. It needs to feel fat. It needs to feel some protein. It needs to feel nutrient carbs. And honestly, the thing that actually makes you feel satiated the most is fiber, and that's basically what plants are. Yeah. So it is an educational side. And, I've done a lot of nutritional education in the past. And what I have found the biggest barrier were for people was they needed to taste it. They needed to go, I can do this. So hence the try one plant-based meal a week, either with us or try it at home. And we've really focused on the flavor side of it. So people crave plant meals. We have a lot of families who come to us who have meat eaters in the family, and their spouses can't believe that their meat eating family member is eating, you know, fajitas like they're going out of style. So there's hope for all of us.
Well, and speaking of your menu and your fajitas, I'm curious, what do you use for the bulk or the substance of those fajitas? Is it a jackfruit, or what do you have?
Yeah, jackfruit is a popular one. We actually went with a slightly different model. We use cauliflower, and we shred it or chop it in such a way that it gives you that sense of like fajita chicken when you're chewing it, with peppers and then chickpeas. And then that's layered on cilantro rice, wrapped in a coconut tortilla, topped with a chipotle crema, avocado, cilantro, and sumac red onions.
So for those who are listening, they're probably like, Pete, the fact that you knew what a jackfruit is very impressive. And my wife and I kind of undulate between, you know, vegetarian and not most of the time. But so jackfruit is one of those that we enjoy. It, one of the things that I've noticed, and I think that you've shared this, is that instead of just putting salt or sugar on things, which tends to be the normal diet that I exist in, that when you do eat vegetarian, for some reason, there's just an emphasis on the natural flavors that plant-based diet provides. And it seems like you could almost survey all of your customers and be like, was this more flavorful? And all of them would say yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's been really fascinating to the response of deliciousness that we get. I mean, mesmerizing, best fajitas I've ever had. And I consider myself a fajita taco connoisseur. And one of that is, one of those things is that with meat and dairy, they carry a flavor that our bodies crave automatically. So with plants, you have the opportunity to enhance their flavors. And we actually have access to an organic spice company that blends spices from all around the world. That is part of our secret sauce, pun intended. But that's the fun part about it, is figuring out what you like. Are you more of a spicy person? Are you more of a savory? We do a lot of the acid, heat, sweet combo fat, just to really find that balance.
So I have one more question for you before Lynn, you know, does her entourage of questions. And I'm just imagining the DeLorean. And I'm really hoping that your food truck is powered by the remnants of the excess of your food, which is probably not very much. Is it biodiesel or DeLorean from Back to the Future?
Everything but the engine. Gosh. So the fun part about it is, and my business partner had a 17-year career with Whole Foods, so he is as environmentally friendly as you could possibly be. And we actually have challenged the food truck builder, who does quite a few food trucks across the country, to build us our next one. This is Grow One. We're working on our second truck to build us some sort of completely zero, you know, waste, zero emissions food truck. But what's amazing is that the eating a plant-based diet is actually more powerful on reversing climate change than emissions are. So animal agriculture contributes to a third of the greenhouse gas emissions. And that's more than what all the transportation emissions are in a year. So a lot of us have done a good job with recycling. We drive more efficient vehicles. But if people just ate one plant-based meal a week, just one a week even, that would dramatically change things. And the animal agriculture doesn't have to go away. It just is not sustainable at the rate in which we are consuming it.
That is a staggering statistic. I don't think I've heard it quite laid out like that before.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm very interested in your background. You mentioned your business partner, Edge Fish, his background a little bit, but talk a little bit more about both of your backgrounds, because you're very qualified to be in the place that you are.
My background was life training. So I've just, over the years, have had a number of health challenges and discovered quickly that food could be a solution for that. You know, it's what you put in your body. So everything from autoimmune, severe food allergies, feeling like I didn't have a place that I could go out and eat safely and feel confident, not wanting to burden restaurants with all of my food allergies. So had to cook a lot at home, had to make food interesting, had to navigate through so many food allergies that you would just think, well, why would you? There's really nothing left to eat at that point. And we have a lot of customers who come to us because we can navigate that safely for them and make food still taste good. And then the other part of it was, you know, seeing the benefits of plant-based eating on people I care about, having someone close to me diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, go on insulin, being a pilot, grounded, I mean, significant life change, and being able to reverse the diabetes enough for him to get off of insulin because of just a plant-based diet. So just seeing the power of people eating more plants, a lower inflammatory diet, and how, you know, at the end of the day, the health is what really makes us function, you know. So helping people find that balance is kind of more my personal passion. I have a marketing background originally and did the whole corporate thing and just decided I was more interested in designing my life and finding balance.
How has your personal health transformed since you've been eating this way? I mean, you talked about some autoimmune diseases a couple weeks ago, maybe months ago now. We interviewed someone who talked about how autoimmune diseases don't have to be, and there's so much we can correct through food.
Yeah, wow. So it's been a stepping stone process, and it takes a while for the body to heal, and I always encourage people to be patient, and sometimes it's just starting to cut back on gluten or whatever it is that you know you find out that your body's sensitive to. But the big transformation, once I got rid of all of the pathogens, which would be food that I'm allergic to in my body, was shifting to the plant-based diet. Everything from more energy, sleeping better, less aches and pains, feeling 20 again at 46, you know. I think I actually feel better at 46 than I did in my 20s. Maybe treating myself a little better too. But just really, you know, feeling good all of the time, which you don't realize how you don't feel well most of the time until you feel really good again. Mm-hmm. And being able to do the things that I love and living in a town like this where we could just hop on a paddleboard and go, or a bike and go, and not be too worried about being tired or sore or achy the next day. I'm a big water skier, and my water skiing's the best it's ever been since since I went on a plant-based diet. So go figure. I don't know. Perfect storm, I guess.
The fact that you're water skiing right now is super impressive. I know there's a tight-knit community of water skiers year-round, and good luck for you guys. Where can we find you, both digitally and in person, in living color? Because your truck looks amazing.
Thank you. Fika, the food truck, we made her bright and joyful. So when people come to her, she would just bring joy to people. So you can find us the best way, because we're committed to Summit County. That's where we are full time, is to go on our website, growfoodtruck.com, and sign up for our weekly truck emails. We do a balance of private and public events. So whenever we're going to be open to the public, we send out an email on Sunday or Monday, and you get notifications of where we are. And then you can also follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Grow Food Truck. Those are going to be daily notifications. So if you're a planner, sign up for the weekly emails. If you just like to be spontaneous and see where we are that day, then you can go down the social media route.
Definitely a planner. I love that you'll on your website, you say you'll be at certain locations at certain times. So that helps me. But you also can come to our houses. And is that correct? Or we can order a block party and get you guys down in our neighborhood. Is that correct?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, private parties are the easiest food truck permits for us to navigate here in the community. So that you can hire us for that. We've been booked for weddings. We've been booked for nonprofit fundraisers. We do a combination of things. So we actually design the whole food experience for that actual event and the event host. And one of the things that people have been using us for, as we like to bring business to local businesses and communities in the Park City Summit County area, is that we actually are a marketing draw for people. So we market the heck out of an event that we're going to be at to bring cross-market our communities and our audiences, because we have a pretty wildly loyal customer base already. And they'll follow us just about anywhere in Summit County.
So great. Collaboration is king. So you were on Sunday at Swanner Nature Preserve from 12 to 3. You'll be at Copper Moose Farm for Earth Day.
Yay.
That is tomorrow. You'll be there from 4 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
These types of events are open to the public.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's on the website, you can come.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good clarification. Obviously, you're not putting house parties up on the website.
I kind of was hoping to crash the house parties.
That requires a different permit.
Okay.
Well, and that's another question is, what is the permitting, and do you take care of all of it if someone books you for an event?
Yes, absolutely. So, graciously, the food truck permit regulations changed in 2018, and Lynn, you were probably a part of that. So there's different permitting requirements based on the type of the event and who's invited in the location, whether you're in the 84060 or the 98. And we navigate all that for you, because everyone says to us when they see us, I didn't know we could have food trucks in Park City, and we can. And there's very clear boundaries and guidelines for us, so we help navigate that. And again, one more thing we try to bring to the event host, so that their experience is as seamless as possible, because we do everything. We show up, we do all the food, we serve the food, we pack it all up, compostable. We're 95% compostable in everything we do other than our vehicle. And off we go. So it's a pretty turnkey experience.
One more question on that. And as you said, the city was sort of revamping its food truck. It's look at how food trucks could possibly operate. And one of the things is, at a certain point, restaurants on Main Street close at night. What a great opportunity for those pouring out of the bars to come and find a food truck right here below KPCW Studios in the Bob Wells Plaza or wherever it is. Have you done any of that sort of thing yet? Or
yes, we are working with the economic development team, who has the balance of figuring out what the right use of food trucks are. Fortunately, most of the city approved locations are what I would call a mini food desert. And our desire is to work in collaboration with the restaurant community here, not in competition with. So, after the restaurants close, Bob Wells Plaza becomes a great option, but we haven't even pursued it while the restaurants are open, just again, out of respect for the fact that we have an incredible restaurant community here, and food trucks are here to add to that, not take away.
Mm-hmm.
but it would be a great cure and a connection for people to alleviate those beverage implications. So, well, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we look forward to seeing you around town more and collaborating with nonprofits and local businesses. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber. And just look for it's many colors, but it's mostly yellow, the yellow food truck.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.